I'd like to start by reading John 10. I'm going to read the first 18 verses from John chapter 10. And they say, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it down from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." We're talking tonight about sheep and shepherds. And this passage in John chapter 10 is probably one of the most famous in the whole Bible. And the idea of God being our shepherd goes right through the Bible. Psalm 23 is one of the most loved psalms. It starts with the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Stephen spoke about this psalm a couple of weeks ago. And Jesus talks in our passage tonight about being the good shepherd and about people being like the sheep in the flock. We find that idea as well in the Psalms. Psalm 100 verse 3 says, "We're his people, the sheep of his pasture." Now, we might not like the comparison to sheep, but it's an accurate one. Sheep are pretty simple creatures. You know, they don't often possess much initiative, unless you're talking about Shaun the sheep, of course. And they often get themselves into trouble. And if we're honest, we see that people possess much of those qualities. Isaiah put it like this: "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." And as we've seen from the song and the story, Jesus told stories about things people were very familiar with. But he often makes us think about those familiar things in a new way. The parable of the lost sheep, on which the story and the song were based, tell us that the shepherd went after the one stray sheep. The shepherd rejoiced when he found that one lost sheep. He brought it home on his shoulders. And that reminds us that the good shepherd isn't somebody who's just doing a job. He's someone who truly cares about the sheep. If you're like me, you wonder how anybody can care about sheep enough to go hunting the lost one instead of just shrugging your shoulders and going home to bed. But, you know, if you think that, then it's pretty safe to say you're not a shepherd. And Jesus reminds us in this passage in John chapter 10 that there's a world of difference between a good shepherd and a hired hand. In the verses, he contrasts himself, the good shepherd, with all who might get paid for looking after sheep, but they don't really care about them. Verses 11 to 13 say, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, doesn't own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep." there's a huge difference between running your own business, owning your own business, investing everything you have in your own business, or simply being an employee for a big corporation. And the Good Shepherd cares about the sheep so much so that if it comes down to it, he'll lay down his life for the sheep. Like David, he'll fight the bear or the lion in order to protect the sheep. But the hired hand, someone who's just given some money to do the job, doesn't have that same sense of duty or need. And so when problems come, like a wolf coming to attack the sheep, he gives up and he runs away. He doesn't want any trouble to come into his own life. He doesn't really care about the sheep at all. And so when trouble shows up, he runs off. It's just too much trouble. And distinguishing between the Good Shepherd and all those who may pretend to care about the sheep but don't, that's another theme that runs through the whole Bible. When Jesus spoke of himself as the Good Shepherd and spoke about his followers as sheep, he was really only echoing what the prophets had said in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter 34, we read about shepherds of Israel who didn't care about the flock. It says that they have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. Through Ezekiel, God promised to be a different kind of shepherd. And that's what Jesus is promising his people here. He's echoing those words in Ezekiel, which go on to say, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so will I look after my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations, gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I'll tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land. There they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And Jesus could call himself the Good Shepherd because he was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. That's what he did, in fact, for us. When he died for us on the cross, he was willing to exchange his life for ours. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus is not just our shepherd, he's the good shepherd. He's the one willing to lay down his life for us so that we can be brought back safely. Just as the shepherd in the parable brought that one lost sheep back to safety with the other 99 in the pen. The good shepherd has to protect the sheep in many ways. Sheep are not only prone to wander, they've got enemies. In the story that we told, we saw that one sheep felt that the shepherd was trying to restrict him and tie him down. He didn't understand that the shepherd was actually seeking to protect him and look after him. And we can be like that with God sometimes. We feel he's a killjoy, that he only wants to spoil our fun. But nothing could be further from the truth. God longs to bless us. He's a good shepherd. He's a good, good father. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who doesn't change like shifting shadows. If we're going to be sheep who dwell in safety and security, we've got to learn to listen to the good shepherd's voice. Jesus talks in verse 3 about the shepherd entering the pen by the gate and the sheep listening to his voice. He says that the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And the sheep are safe while they follow the voice of the shepherd. They follow because they recognize his voice. Voices are so very distinctive, aren't they? A few years ago, my friend Ruth phoned me one Sunday morning to tell me that her mother had died. She phoned on my landline, and this was before the days of caller ID telling you who was phoning. And I knew her mum was in hospital because she'd had a fall and it had fractured her hip. But the last time I'd spoken to Ruth a few days earlier, everything seemed to be going fine with her mother's recovery. And I picked the phone up and she just said, Julie. And I recognised her voice immediately. And actually, just her tone of voice as she said my name told me what she was going to tell me. Just a voice, just saying my name, you know, and a voice that we know saying a name can tell us so much. And that's what Jesus is talking about. When we know him, when we recognise his voice, we'll follow him because we know his voice. And we see an example of that in the resurrection story with Mary. Mary was at the tomb on Easter Sunday. She'd gone there. She'd found no body there. And she was distraught and she was in tears. She said, they've taken my Lord away and I don't know where they've put him. And she actually sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. She thinks he's the gardener. But when he speaks her name, when he says, Mary, she recognizes him. She knows who he is at that point. The combination of his voice and her name, which she'd probably heard him say many times before, broke through her tears and her grief and helped her to understand that something miraculous was happening. Jesus was there. We've got the privilege of not only knowing God, but being known by him. Psalm 119, verse 168, tells us that all our ways are known to him. And Psalm 139, in the first three verses, says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You know, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. We're both known to God and known by God, and we can learn to recognize his voice. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be scared, because God is not only a good shepherd, but a mighty one. And I think, you know, most Christians are very familiar with the idea of being God's sheep and God being our shepherd. But no matter how many times we've heard these things, we need to be listening for that divine voice, which is calling to us and which is leading us. Because sheep have enemies, people who would try to lure them out of the good pasture and the security of the sheep pen. They can be easily scattered by enemies as well as by their own stupidity. And if sheep are to flourish, they have to live under the protection and care of the shepherd. And the same is true for us. Listening to God's voice takes time and effort and practice. You know, when we first come to know God, we're perhaps not sure of his voice. But just as with people, the more time we spend with them, the more we get to know their voices. So the more time we spend with God, the more we'll come to recognize his voice. Every voice is so distinctive, and it's the same with God. His voice doesn't condemn us. Even when he disciplines us, it's corrective. It builds us up ultimately rather than tears us down. Sometimes he will come to us as he did to Elijah with a gentle whisper. Sometimes his voice will thunder louder than the mightiest waters. Sometimes we'll feel God so close to us that we could describe his voice as being audible, like a person in the room with us. More often than not, it's not an audible voice. It's more like an inner nudge pushing us in a certain direction. God's spirit communicating to our spirits. But it can be very difficult at first to recognize that voice because we're not used to it. One thing we need to grasp is that God wants to speak to each one of us. You know, he is wanting to speak to us. He is willing to speak to us. He's a bit like a radio station that's constantly transmitting. We are like the radio receiver, which needs to be both tuned in and turned on if we're to hear what the radio station is transmitting. You know, often we might feel that God's got nothing to say to us, but usually then the problem is we're talking so much you can't get a word in edgeways, or we're not actually quiet enough and still enough to hear him speak. I believe that God wants to speak to each one of us personally. He's called us by name. We each of us belong to him. And so we need to settle for nothing less than hearing the shepherd's voice for ourselves. The first way really to grow in hearing and recognizing God's voice is to come to him and ask him to speak to you. The Bible says, ask, seek and knock. And it assures us that if we do those things, we won't be disappointed. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. They're great promises for us. We find a similar promise in Jeremiah 29, verses 12 to 13. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God's word tells us that if we're serious about hearing God's voice, we'll hear it. We can't make demands on God, you know, demanding that he speak to us, but he's promised to reveal himself to those who humbly seek him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. And the united testimony of the Bible is that God is a God who speaks. He spoke creation into being. Jesus is called the Word. We can be confident that God will speak to us as we seek his face. But of course, we've got to learn to distinguish his voice. You know, we've got to distinguish his voice from all the other voices that cry out to us, our own thoughts, other people, the world's opinions, even the devil himself. And it can be difficult at times to discern God's voice in a world that's clamoring for our attention all the time. But Jesus said of the shepherd, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. God can speak to us in many ways. He's always gracious enough to confirm to us what he's saying. The main way that we hear him speak is through his word, the Bible. But he may well confirm or explain further through the prophetic, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a prophecy given to someone to build us up. Perhaps through the advice and counsel of other people. They might not know the significance of what they're saying, but, you know, they can be used by God to speak to us. Perhaps he speaks to us through circumstances and timing that you can't explain in any other way as coming from God. We need to understand that God wants to speak to us. God will speak to us. God's got our best interests at heart, and he wants to lead us as a good shepherd. And our role is simply to follow him as sheep wherever he leads. I'd like us to read Psalm 23 as we just finish this part of the service. And think about each one of the promises that God makes to us in that wonderful psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.